Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Tuesday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various IRS administrative remedies with our speaker, Mr. Tony Davis. My name is Mark Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do where they're similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremediesinthelaw.com, if we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure. Better known to some as American jurisprudence or ANJUR, the rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course, so it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced. The jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedies in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of yourremediesinthelaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features of Citigroup's at Your Remedies in the Law. And Your Remedies in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at yourremediesinthelaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict, pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially, how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. If it affects your personal rights, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom, it's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think that they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look at these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions at all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to the point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, and you're just new to Your Remedies in the Law, and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to Your Remedies in the Law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your MDs in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Edward for advertising at your MDs in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. Can we make those introductions? Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. But we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not if the remedy is in the law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at your remedies in the law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it. All right, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. Tonight's speaker
is Mr. Tony Davis. Tony's going to be talking tonight about Title 83, wrapping everything up. And
Nope. It's not Tony Davis. It's going to be Michael Edward. Brother John is not going to be here tonight. He had something to take care of, and I'm going to be concluding with what we talked about last night, which is regarding the correcting your political citizenship status. So just as a recap, what we've covered so far was the 30,000-foot view with regards to political citizenship status, the blatant fraud that has been committed actually since the Civil War, and it was in the planning stages way before that. Probably the planning stages started the moment our country came into existence. We covered Chapter 1, which was citizenship. Chapter 2 was our money supply, our money system. Chapter 3 was the trust, the SESTK trust. The Chapter 4 was about the IRS. Chapter 5 is telling you and sharing with you in law what actually is the United States. It's not what you think it is. Chapter 6 talked about the courts and their interfacing with political citizenship status. Chapter 7 was sharing with you the remedy. It still exists, and it's used and employed. Point in fact is that Brother John actually fulcrums off of the political citizenship status with every student he has today and has been doing this now for over a year. Chapter 8 was talking about words and phrases in law or terms. Chapter 9 was about the government and the church. What a unique relationship. Chapter 10 was the best kept secret. And then last night we talked about America's royal family, and that was a very interesting conversation. So tonight we're going to talk about how to use this knowledge, how to employ all of this in what we need to do to remedy ourselves. Well, what we've just finished talking about, recapped, is not intended by any means to make you all knowing about the issues that have been raised. Neither is it intended as any kind of legal advice. And if you do decide to use what you've learned in these discussions, it will have to be on your own responsibility and at your own risk, because the road can sometimes be treacherous and very difficult to follow. What these teachings are about is intended to give you a firm basis, a foundation from which to start. If you research the material that you've been exposed to these last 3 months, which we've covered, you'll find that it is accurate beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the same standard used to sentence a murderer to death. Prayerfully, Americans will start to realize how much they have given up in the name of nationalism, or in order to gain a little security for a short bit of time. More realistically, they just simply were never informed and never had a clue to investigate on their own. Benjamin Franklin said that any man who would give up a little liberty in order to gain short-lived security deserved neither liberty nor security. I believe that. Our greatest problem is that we Americans have become complacent about anything that the government does. We're raised to believe that our government would never lie to us, and that the United States government always acts in the best interest of the American people. Right. Nothing can be further from the truth. This government acts only in its own best interest, and it has now gone so far as to have you believe that an American national no longer exists, or never even existed to begin with. Just take it off the plate. Nothing here to learn, right? And they have replaced the American national with citizens of the United States. It has even led you to believe that being a citizen of the United States is a great honor, and that's equivalent to being an American, and you should be very proud of that title. Of course, what you've done is you've exchanged your constitutional rights for civil rights. You've changed a guaranteed Republican form of government for a so-called democracy, which in truth is an oligarchy. You've lost all the way around. The truth is, the only one who benefits from getting Americans to become and remain citizens of the United States is the United States. That is the trust, the SESTK trust. And because once the transition is accomplished, the trust gains total control over those who previously had control, total control over the United States. They've totally inverted the paradigm. It's like getting the owner of a company to believe that the supervisor of the night shift is his superior, and he must abide by the supervisor's orders. It's kind of like taking orders from your public servants. If you believe that you can better make the decisions that affect your own life and the life of your family than anyone else could, especially somebody in Washington, D.C., and if you start and want to reclaim the freedom left to you by our founding fathers, your birthright, well, now's a good time to start reversing the damage and regaining your life as a free American. Oh, so just how do you start to reverse this damage? Well, to start with, you might consider purchasing a Black's Law Dictionary. You can purchase a good one at a bookstore for anywhere from $50 to $100. The older, the better. I have nothing greater than edition 6. I have edition 6, 5, and 4. I believe 3, 2, and 1 are published online. You must always remember that words have, in law, a precise meaning. And they mean exactly what they say. And those that those in the trust, the SESTK trust, who would steal your rights, know, and they use these exact meanings in a way that they hope you will never understand. The problem is that legal meaning is usually not the meaning that you have always assumed each is attached to each of these key words that we use. The word United States, the phrase United States alone, has three different definitions. Which one do you think the court will take silent notice of that you are when you move forward in litigation? When you look up a word in Black's Law Dictionary, look up the same word in Webster's. And if you can afford, find the Bouvier dictionary as well. And you'll find that many times a totally different meaning will be shown in Webster's. Perhaps more important, Black's gives you the meaning of many legal terms and cites decision cases, if it's annotated, that define many words and phrases. But whatever you do, never, never, did I say never? I meant to say never. Assume that you know the meaning of any legal word, term, or direction. That's exactly what the trust, the SDK trust, depends upon and expects you to do. And that's how those in this trust fool you into believing things that are just not true. Thereby, they're controlling you without any authority whatsoever over you except that which you give them. After you have your law dictionary, your legal dictionary, Bouvier's, Black's, Ballantyne, start reading the instructions on any of our government forms that you fill out. And do a little research before you fill out the form to find out what law or code that you are to comply with. I think you'll be shocked to learn that none of the forms that you have always believed were required are in fact required. I think that if you read and understand the underlying code and regulation for which you are complying to, you'll learn that, well, one, it does not apply to you if you're not a member of the trust. And secondly, it is not mandatory. Use your Black's Law Dictionary to look up all words of command, that is, must, shall, required, and then apply those meanings of those words exactly as they are used in the context of what you're reading. And what you'll find is that none of the instructions require you to do anything. Each instruction will be conditioned, so it will appear to give you a mandatory order, but none will give you a mandatory order when you apply the proper meaning to the words used therein. If these instructions did in fact require an American national to do anything prior to having been arrested, indicted, or convicted in one of their so-called common law crimes for which jurisdiction was passed, they would be unconstitutional on their face. Since these so-called masters of the language who write these codes, these regulations and instructions, never do anything that could be even remotely unconstitutional, you can be certain that nothing they put in writing will order an American national to do anything. Therefore, when you read these instructions, do not assume that you know what they're telling you to do. In fact, do not assume they're even speaking to you. Instead, read for the meaning. Read for the meaning that would be constitutional. And you'll easily discover the true statement made in each writing that you receive from the government or any agency or would be an agency thereof. Also, you have done some independent research on this issue so that you are convinced that your position is, quote, on solid ground, end quote, and then you can move forward toward reclaiming your rightful position of an American national. This movement involves the undoing of many contracts and commitments, most of which you did not even realize you were making at the time you entered into them. The actions required to successfully complete this transition, back including the filing of a number of documents, included but not limited to, quote, a statement in lieu of a return for the first year in which you did not file a 1040 form for the IRS, or secondly, an affidavit of restoration of rights, thirdly, a constructive notice by affidavit to all parties concerned, evidence of citizenship status, which would be recorded at your local county clerk's office. We prefer to record them with the State Department of the United States. An affidavit of surrender, a Social Security card, and the use of the registration number. There will be other letters to write and documents to file in this intentional stage for your freedom, but because each claim must be made by the trust, it must be answered and challenged, or it will become proven under commercial law, and the trust will once again claim jurisdiction over you by commercial law. You must demand everything you want, and you must be insistent upon your conditions being met exactly as you demand, because you will be tested from the beginning. And these leeches of society do not want to turn the power back over to you. But if you follow the proper steps, they will have no alternative, and the power will be restored to you. There is a process that Justice Bashir has completely put together. He calls it a peaceful withdrawal. This process is only available to people who have acquired a corporation soul and have divested themselves of all property, and all property that they had has been placed in various charitable religious trusts, to where they own nothing but control everything. And once they're in that position where they have availability, they have their access to the necessary funds to maintain their position in life and their control of life, which they can do through the corporation soul, the charitable religious trusts, and also the engaging the golden horseshoe. Once that has been established and you no longer can be robbed of anything, no matter what happens, then he will accept you as a student to assist you in peacefully withdrawing. That's another service that he provides. We've never mentioned it on the calls, or maybe once or twice in the 10 years that I've been marketing for Justice Bashir, simply because for basically everyone involved, it takes them to be in a position where they financially, they don't have to interface with the government, you know, like having a job and things like that. So all of that put in place, we have all of the answers to any questions for any situation in your life to bring you to a place where you are enabled, as our founding fathers pled for you to be enabled to enjoy life as free men and free women. So the only reason not to reclaim that which is properly yours, well, one is apathy on your part. Another might be fear. Or, you know, maybe you like being a slave. Man, it's a great safety net if you can get away with it. Men of European descent are the least likely to be able to access it, but we know about that as well. So if these are your reasons for not acting, then really we have nothing to offer you here at Your Remedies in the Law. However, on the other hand, if you can put together the components and you want to invest the time to learn and understand, internalize these facts, we can show you how to do it. On a side note is the fact, I know many of you who have been listening to these calls for the last 3 months, use offshore bank accounts in attempt to hide your finances from the IRS. Well, at the very least, that's a very risky proposition. First, hiding your money can easily be construed as a conspiracy to defraud the United States government. Again, that falls under Title 18 of the United States Code, and that title has been enacted into positive law, although you have evidence, foundational evidence, that proves that even though it's been enacted in positive law, it was never passed to begin with for lack of quorum. That's another conversation for another time. Also, sending your money out of the country is very, very risky, and many of you probably already lost huge sums of money doing exactly that. There are numerous con games out there, just people waiting to rip you off. However, if you utilize the information that we've talked about, you can have offshore accounts right in your own hometown bank. And that's because the term offshore, when used in this sense, simply means outside the jurisdiction of the IRS and the United States. When you follow the steps to become a non-resident alien to the United States and then utilize a substitute W-8 form, you can open an account in your hometown bank that is offshore to the United States and the IRS. Better still, no treaty can give the IRS access to your money, which can happen when you're dealing with governments from around the world. I've said the author of this book has such an account and has had accounts from around the world in the past, which you may currently be pursuing. And I can say without fear of contradiction, my local bank is far superior to any situation you'll find in any other countries in banking. You have daily control of your money. You are protected by all of the same insurance and safeguards that you have grown accustomed to and all the services related to it. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with accepting those protections because our forefathers were the ones that set up this government to serve our needs. And this is one way that it can fulfill those purposes. And for those of you who choose to remain a slave, well, I have no sympathy because it's outside my ability to understand why anyone would choose slavery over freedom. You may feel safe and warm today, but you're leaving a terrible legacy for your descendants, and your own future will not be so bright if those of us who are currently fighting this battle ever decide that it's just too much trouble for us. The only reason that you still have any rights or what you consider rights or actually privileges as you have today is because there are a lot of us that are fighting to keep those rights, and, well, you're just unworthy beneficiaries of both our forefathers and our sacrifices. So if you like the welfare system, you're right where you belong. So there we go. That would be concluding tonight's last chapter in this effort. So let's see what we have here for questions and answers. Press star 2 on your keypad if you have any questions. I'll be glad to do what I can to answer them. Let me see if we have anyone on Freedom's Radio. Press star 2 on your keypad for your questions on Freedom's Radio. You'll see the silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side near the center right of your monitor. Just left-click on that and type away your comment or question. Underneath, you'll see a place to put your name, some other requested information. Hit submit, and we'll go from there. Our first caller for question is Bruce, and then we're going to be followed by Johnny Ringo. I love the guy. Okay, go ahead, Bruce. What we got?
Hey, good evening. First a question. I had attempted to text you a text from a 1985 IRS commissioner, which was a long letter that went out to field offices in April of 1985, stating that the 13th Amendment had never been properly.
Which 13th Amendment?
The one that established, or I'm sorry, not the 13th, the 16th. The one that had established the IRS.
Okay.
And the ability for Congress for the government to tax us. And so it explains how it was not properly passed. Anyway, I just want to see if you got that document. If not,
I'll give you another. No, I did not. I just checked my text while you were talking.
So I've got it on a Telegram page.
I don't do Telegram.
Ah, okay. Well, no. I'm saying is I took it as a picture off of Telegram and tried to text it to you. So
try just email it to me.
Okay. What's the email?
I'll send you a text.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll get that to you, and then we'll have questions.
All right. There it is. I just sent it to you. Check your text to make sure that you have it.
Got it.
Okay. Now, I have another question. I have a phone number showing for you from 954 area code.
No. It should be 214.
I have that. I just text that. But I have.
Okay.
I also have your name down with a 954 area code.
Never had that unless I might have called. I might have called in from Montana or somewhere long time ago, but not any time recently. That's not my number.
I just deleted it. Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Yep.
All right. I'll forget it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Now, drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Ringo is the lead investigator for the late Mr. Tony Davis. And as such, he has wonderful resources that, frankly and truthfully, I covet. Yes, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, but I covet these, especially probably his law library. Anyways, just that alone. Johnny, what's up?
Someday it'll all be yours, Michael. I guarantee it. I promise it.
Dad, thanks so much. I'll take the inheritance.
You're going to need a fairly big truck to haul all of the goodies, but it's there.
All righty.
One little question. I've been doing a little research, not much on it, but trying to come up with something on a valid declaration of actual innocence. Now, this is from the common law courts, and there hasn't been a common law court, to my knowledge, since May 3rd, 1907. Would you have any information on such a document?
No, sir. I've heard of it.
Knowledge of it.
Sorry?
Or knowledge of it.
I have knowledge of it, absolutely. But I you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. It's a declaration of innocence is what you're offering. But
it's a declaration.
I don't know of any. I've never seen any document like that.
By the common law courts,
right.
not by the standard of courts that we've got today, which is a big joke. But I was trying to find documents pertaining to this, and there's I've got a few, but they're very hard to come by, and I was just wondering if you would have any knowledge of on how I could go about obtaining it. I've got a hell of a staff, and they're all digging stuff up, but they come up with nothing. So
I'm opening up my text right now to Brother John. I'm typing in Johnny Ringo, and asks if you have a copy of the American Common Law.
They call it a valid declaration of actual innocence. It was way before a pardon.
Declaration
of actual innocence.
Of actual innocence. Got it.
I've had my cohorts working on this for quite a while, and they come up with three or four documents, but that's about all they come up with. It seems like everything disappeared when the common law courts disappeared.
Right, right. According to...
Just curious.
Let me see if I can find this real quick. What you're asking for, something that is, it's a court case I came across quite a while ago that, pigeonholes today's courts, if I can find it here. Here we go. Okay. There's three court cases. 1982. Oh, wait a minute. That's not it. There you go. Well, I got to redo this because I'm missing one of them. In Moore versus Illinois. No, here we go.
Okay.
I didn't lose it. Houston versus Moore. 18 U.S. 1,33. This is 1820 decision. Quote, every citizen of a state owes a double allegiance. He enjoys the protection and participates in the government of both the state and the United States, end quote. And then 32 years later, in Moore versus Illinois, 55 U.S. 13,20, quote,
right.
Every citizen of the United States is also a citizen of a territory of a state. He may be said to owe allegiance to two sovereigns and may, not shall, be liable to punishment for infraction of the laws of either. However, it was Cruikshank in 1876 that nailed it and brought it all together, where it said, quote, It's the natural consequence of a citizenship which owes allegiance to two sovereignties and claims protection from both. The citizen cannot complain because he has voluntarily submitted himself to such a form of government. He owes allegiance to the two departments, so to speak, and within their respective spheres must pay the penalties which each exacts for disobedience to its laws. In return, he may demand protection from each within its own jurisdiction, end quote. So the courts that we have established today actually can or may offer or supply common law remedy. The trick is to force them up front before anything happens to establish not only personam jurisdiction but territorium jurisdiction. The land on which, for instance, if let's just say that you're in Ohio, you're going to court and you've got a document challenging jurisdiction, so your appearance is special, it's not general, and until this matter is resolved, it will be maintained as special appearance for the prosecutor to establish with evidence upon the record that this is Ohio, one of the several states of America united in perpetual union, or if in fact this is the state of Ohio, a state of the United States. That has to be established on the record, because if they establish on the record the presumption that this is the state of Ohio, you're in the wrong court, and the judge is wearing the wrong hat. Remember, before the Civil War, when you were dealing with American common law litigation, you actually went to a separate building that was simple, yes. That was for American common law litigation. And if you had federal litigation, you went to another building.
That is correct.
Okay. So the key that Brother John is working with and has frankly stymied and frozen every student's case that he's working on, and has also caused a quagmire for them to navigate through, is that his students, John's students, will not budge off of the jurisdiction question, land as well as personam. And it's been locking up everything. Now, I want to give a short story here. Without naming names, one of the students, of GW students, who was correcting their political citizenship status, was utilizing a process where you can correct your political citizenship status without a Social Security number. And it's strictly on the single premise of it being a violation of your firmly held religious beliefs. And we've had three different students that dug their heels in and said, you know what, I'd rather continue with my life and be subjected to the misery that this government forces me into than to ever put into jeopardy my afterlife by using enumerations that put me in a place where I can neither buy nor sell. Because the number that you're requesting, if I don't use that number, I can neither buy nor sell. I can't get a bank account. I can't get a job, whatever. And what happens in my afterlife is clearly established in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, I think it's verse 17, where it talks about that no one enumerated will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, thank you, but no thank you. I'll walk away. Now, three of those four that did this, they walked away. And within hours, and with one of them, 3 days later, were invited back in, and they successfully processed through the State Department of the United States, through INS, Immigration Naturalization Services, a passport and pass card without a Social Security number on it, attached to it. The fourth, I was in immediate proximity. I was there. And I watched what transpired. And their threats were the same as the threats that the other three told us about. And he caved. He gave him a Social Security number, and he processed that way. So the point that I'm speaking, and the reason why I say the short story for everyone, is in court, in every single litigation, the judge will bully you in an attempt to bring you in and not deal with the challenge of jurisdiction. And just as it was with correcting your political citizenship status, where you dig your heels in and say, look, I'm more concerned about my afterlife than I am my present life. I'll just go about my way. Thank you. Unless you're willing to walk away, unless you're willing to stand there and hold your ground, dig your heels in litigation, it's the same thing. Now, when they violate you, and they may very well, most likely will violate you, you may actually be sent to cool your heels off for a day or two in holding for the courts. You know, I'm just saying, you just sit there and smile and, you know, do what you do with your time.
Right.
And when it's all said and done, you know, they can't do much with you after 72 hours, my understanding is. You're brought back into court, and you just simply say, "Is the prosecution prepared now to establish on the record the jurisdiction of the land and the jurisdiction of the persona?" And the judge may come back and say, "Are you prepared to go back into holding for another 3 days?" When they do that, there's deprivation of rights under color of law, and those are being processed as we speak for some of his students. Where the government, where the judges, the judiciary are steamrolling the students. And they're willing to sit there. And the students are willing to take this abuse. Because if they don't, they will be steamrolled worse, number one. Number two, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That was signed by 53 or 57 men. Are you willing to be the 58th to sign that? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And the answer for myself is yes, I'm willing. I hope others are. Anyways, just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, that was interesting. No, the federal government has given me only three numbers, and they're all sixes.
That's,
of course, according to... to them, but if any of your students ever need, let's call it sanctuary, we've got quite a compound up here, and you're more than welcome, or anybody else of your group.
Yep. We've got a lot to talk about. It just takes money, and we're waiting for the RV, which by all indications is at our doorstep. I've never succumbed to the sizzle. But I'm hearing it so loudly now. It's like when bacon is popping in the pan.
Okay. Well, but
right.
Well, if financial need is needed, contact me. That's no problem.
All right, copy that.
Or sanctuary.
Yes, sir. We'll keep that in mind.
You take care. Say hi to John
for
me.
I will do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, anyone else, press star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand. I'm going to check Freedom's Radio. If nobody has done so when I get back, we're going to say goodnight. So just a second here. Nobody at Freedom's Radio has raised their hand. Let me see how many we got. All right. All right, back with Bruce. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, so I think I was able to email that to you, just checking to see if you got it, and then we can discuss
copy
that next
that.
Time.
Yep, got it.
Cool. Well, when you get a chance, and then maybe next time, or if you have a minute, text me or ping me, and I'll call if I can.
All righty, sir. Thank you. I'm going to make an early night tonight, and we'll be at it tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us this evening. Tomorrow night, I will return and present Mr. Slevin's Limited Liability Company and also the very, very good news on how to navigate past the decision that came into effect January 1st, the law that came into January 1st that supposedly put a kibosh on the limited liability company's reporting, and we found the back door that exempts us. Until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you.